Anything like that when you were a kid? It's too hot to be outside. Goodness gracious, 75 degrees and you want to say it's too hot. Exactly. Somebody needs to slap those kids. Find their parents and slap them too. Man. If you would, grab your Bibles and go with me to Revelation chapter 20. We're going to start in verse 3. We're going to be doing some Bible hopping today. I didn't know what to title the message, so I titled it Our Great Enemy. The one thing that I think that so many of us struggle to get through is what it is that we think we hear. Well, a lot of times we hear something and it's not what was actually being delivered. We hear one thing, but that's not actually what was being said. And you see that right now on TV. It almost wants to drive you insane when it comes to politics. And we're being so easily deceived by what it is that we think we hear on TV and what we think we hear come out of some of these politicians' mouths or what we think we hear from just our neighbors or our friends. They said something, but what was not actually their intent. We go and we interpret their intent sometimes. And people get upset, people get mad over something that was not actually said. Things were taken out of context. And it happens so many times. And, you know, a lot of times people, I always tell Kayla, and she'll be like, why would they say something like that? I'm like, well, I don't think that's what they meant. You know, especially when you know somebody or you think you know them, and you know they're a pretty decent person. And so sometimes you have to stop and go, well, I don't think that was their intent was this. And that happens so easily in the church, especially. Something will get said, and that's not what their intent was. And people get all disheartened, you get upset, and they start squabbles and fights. I know nothing like that has ever happened here. This is just hearsay from other places, right? Never here. You never have these type of things that go on in your families. It's just everybody else's. Exactly. Not in your church. This would never happen. You know, it happens sometimes maybe in our families. Not mine, of course. I mean, and not yours. Other people's families. Where somebody will go and deliver a message that something else that somebody else said, and that's not what they said at all. Kayla and I have friends of ours, and they're really not bad people. But she used to watch Anthony and Allie in the mornings. And every morning, Kayla would call me, hollering at me, mad. I'm like, that's not what I said to her last night. I said this. No, that's not what she said. I don't care what the woman said. That's not what I said. That's not how I said things. We fought almost every day over something that I did not say. But things were perceived one way and it was delivered another way just to cause a squabble. So this is something I want to talk about here this morning. Revelation chapter 20, verse 3. It says this, he threw them into the abyss. Does this thing work? Ha ha! And threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. And when the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from him, his prison, and he will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth of Gog and Magog to gather them together, for the number of them is like the sand of the seashore. You know, the greatest power that Satan has over us as a people is the ability to deceive us. Like I said, we're so easy. We want to hear the inflections in people's voices, and that he'll be able to take something like that and drive it home with us, and we get mad and irritated over something that was not actually said. And he's easily deceiving us, and we're seeing this now on the news, where people are being deceived by what somebody says. And frankly, anymore today, I don't know what to believe. I've come to the conclusion that it's easier just not to believe any of it. Most of it is all lies. If you think any of it is really that true, you are being deceived. Hate to break it to you. If somebody tells you that things are going pretty good, no, the nation's kind of bad, in bad shape, and if they're telling you that they can fix it, probably not. We're pretty bad off. We don't think we are, but we are. I mean, I hate to break it to you, but we are a broke nation. Easily put, if you're broke, you're not doing that good. How many have ever been broke and gone, things are great? I know I owe everybody money, but man, things could not be any better. How many of you have ever been like that? No, whenever I owe people money and they're calling, asking for their money, I'm usually not thinking things are going great. So we are so easily deceived by what's going on. And deceive is the greatest power that Satan possesses, is the power of deception. He is the great deceiver. To deceive means to cause, come on now, there you go, to cause one to believe what is not true. If Satan can make you believe something that is not true, then he can control you. And I'm afraid that today many of us are governing our lives through deception of people in high places. Other than God's word, like I said, I don't believe anything. I just don't know what to believe anymore. Deception. Have you heard this? You don't have to go to church. I can worship God at my home, or I believe I'm going to heaven because I'm just a good person. What makes you a good person? What's good? John Bevere's got a book out. It's called Good or God. Great book. Suggest it to anybody to read it. And he makes the comment, what are we basing good on? By who? By the world standards, you're a good person? Congratulations. What does that do for you? Nothing. Another ticket to hell. Can I be honest with you? You're a good person. Congratulations. The Bible says that there's only one way. It doesn't say through being good. Although, let me tell you something. If you call yourself a Christian and you are not a good person, if you do not follow his laws and his rules, you too will be getting a first-class ticket to hell. I hate to break it to you. I know that the world says, well, if there's a lot of different ways we can do this. No, there's not. There's only one. And see, and that's how he's deceiving the people today. Believe it or not, as much as church growth as we see it in the country, in our country, church growth as a whole in the world today is actually growing. But the problem is the message in which some of them are preaching. Well, and I'm going to be honest with you. I was deceiving myself for years. I was like, as long as I made the part look good, as long as I dressed everything up real nice on Sunday and fool a lot of people, I can fool God. I'm being honest with you. That was kind of my thought on things. If I can fool people, I can fool God. And that's how I wanted to do things. I wanted to be me on Monday, be me on Saturday, and I'll be what the people want me to be on Sunday. That's the way I kind of looked at things for a long time. I was deceiving myself. And you know what? Whenever I was living that way, I was seeing things happen still on Sunday mornings or on Sunday nights at church. I'd be up there leading worship, and man, you'd see God just start to move into place, and you're going, see, everything's just fine. That's what I was thinking to myself. It was deception. It was deceiving myself. And we have this thought too many times that, well, if things are going okay and nobody's calling me out on anything, then I must be okay. You're deceiving yourself. 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and the purity of devotion to Christ. We're so easily caught up in things. We get, I call it ADD. My wife says I have ADHD sometimes. But we get caught up in so many different things, and we look over here and we look over there and we're moving around and we're not checking ourselves. And we get so caught up and we get deceived so easily. It's our greatest thing that we fight. It's the greatest thing I fight all the time, is not being caught up in my own deception. John 8:44, you are the father of the devil. You are of your father, the devil. And you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. We get caught up in so many different lies. Imagine living in an environment where fear controlled your life. Constantly insecure, where what you ate was whatever you could scrounge up, where your only clothes was what people would throw out, where hate and selfishness filled your environment, and joy and happiness is a distant memory. Now imagine living in an environment where there are no reason to fear. There is always something to eat, clothes to wear, and a happy, caring environment. Deception causes people to throw their lives away. David and Bathsheba in 2 Samuel chapter 11, Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. Well, today, abortion, homosexuality, euthanasia, and divorce are becoming the norm in our society, and it's accepted in the Christian churches today. Because the world says that we must bend to what it is that they think are the right standards to live by. And I said this a while back whenever the courts, made their ruling. Don't agree with it, don't like it, but you know what? I found out my opinion don't matter. So, I don't believe that government has the right to decide how people live. Plain and simple, okay? But I do believe the church has the right to say what is sin. Is everybody with me? The church, though, has no right to condemn anybody to hell. We're all together on this, right? This is where the church has been getting messing things up here lately. We think either we have to bend to their rules or condemn them to hell. That's wrong. We say what is sin. We do not condemn anybody to hell, because whenever you condemn somebody else to hell, you are condemning yourself. If you do not want to be judged like they are going to be judged, don't judge. It's that simple. But we're deceiving ourselves to think that we have the right to say, what you're doing is wrong, you're going to hell. No. You have the right to say what is sin. It's the church's calling to say what is sin. We know homosexuality is a sin. But you also need to be able to embrace the homosexual and tell them God loves them just the way they are so much that he wants to change them and make them into a holy creature. I've gotten to the point where I just stay off of social media because it just drives me crazy. Because we have so many people in the church today who they're going to bend completely and say, well, let's just stay away from the topic altogether. And I don't want to make anybody upset. God loves them all. So we're not going to say anything. Or it's, you're going to hell. And frankly, I kind of got just fed up with it. A lot of people I started blocking, because I just got tired of seeing it. We're deceiving ourselves if we think that we have the right to condemn people. Your son, your daughter, who might be backslidden, who may not be saved, whenever you are calling out somebody else because of the lifestyle that they are living, why are you not calling out your own family member? Can I just be honest? See, it's a whole lot easier to point the finger at somebody else. This morning, I'm going to kind of point the finger at us. We can point the finger at the president. We can point the finger at the government. We can point the finger at the Supreme Court. But why are we not pointing the finger back at us? We want to blame Madeline Merrill O'Hara for taking prayer out of schools. She didn't take it out of your home, you did. Nobody ever told you to stop laying hands on the sick and seeing them recovered. You did. I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm just trying to be honest with you. Is that okay? All right. I don't want anybody thinking, man, he's just beating us with a hammer this morning. I'm really not. We're living in the last of the last of the last days. I honestly, truly believe that. I really do. And the Bible said that he's coming back for a spotless bride. Pure and holy. Ones that are chasing after him. Are we doing that? Or are we just deceiving ourselves thinking, well, as long as we let our voice be heard, and as long as we go to church on Sunday, as long as we play the part, we're okay. But let me tell you something. God knows what you're doing in your secret place. Moving on. You've got to recognize the voice that's speaking to you. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. See, when we fall to sin, when we fall to sin, it is often through deception, and sin is the fruit of deception. Often we say things like this, I just won't get caught. This will satisfy me. In other words, if it feels good, it must be okay. How many of you ever heard that one? Well, don't feel wrong. This will make me happy, or this will make me rich, or I can be my own boss. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Deuteronomy 11:26 says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse, the blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord, your God, which I command you this day, and the curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. But turn aside from the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known. Joshua 24:15 says this, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river, or the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. When's the last time you made that declaration? Where you've looked at your household and said, you know what? I'm done doing the things that we've always done, and we're going to change things now. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Be honest with yourself here. We have a choice to make. I believe the United States and the church in the United States, we are at a crossroads right now where we're going to have to start making some very crucial decisions. Some churches have already made the decision to bend completely over, to give completely in to the world. If you would walk into their churches today, you see no difference in them than you do in the world. Where you have a homosexual pastor, or the past, I was at, whenever I was with the cable company, I was at a pastor's house, and he told me he was a pastor. I was like, oh, really? Where are you pastor at? So we started talking, and starts talking about his girlfriend. Okay, none of my business. You can have a girlfriend. And then she comes over while I'm there. I am not thinking anything of it. She goes, I'm back to her bedroom. Y'all living in separate rooms? Because that'd be tough. You know, I may be saved, but I ain't ignorant. Okay, still a man. So he starts talking about how they've been living together now for a couple of years. And they're trying to get pregnant, but they just haven't had a baby yet. I'm sitting there kind of dumbfounded. And I'm sitting there going the whole time, "What? Why are you pastoring? There's no difference of you than the world. The Bible says that we are to be set apart." Like the pastor said a few weeks ago, he didn't say strange, he said set apart. Now, don't get me wrong, we do have some strange folk in the church. And if you don't know who the strange folk are in this church, it's you. I'm just saying. Somebody else said one time, if you don't know who the sad person is in the group, it's you. Because every group of people, there's the complainers, and this. Do you know baseball organizations are just like the church? I'm finding this out more and more every year. The guy that runs the organization, we're out there working the fields the other day. He goes, "You know, what ticks me off is there was 15 people complaining about the field and there's two of us out here working it." I said, "Yeah." I said, "This is just like church." He goes, "That's all I've heard about for a month is how this field looks terrible. I'm out here." We had 7 ton of dirt dropped out. You know how we hauled that 7 ton of dirt from behind the backstop to out to the field? With wheelbarrows. I was tired. There's two of us. And he's out there just rolling around and just kind of complaining about everything. And I started laughing. I'm like, "Oh, Lord, you have no idea, buddy. You only have to put up with this in the spring." But if you don't know who the complainers are in the group, or the happy people are in the group, or the workers in the group, because there's always those people in every group. It doesn't matter how big, small, large, it does not matter. There is always those people. If you don't know who the complainers are, it's you. If you don't know who the happy people are, congratulations, it's you. They're out there everywhere. It doesn't matter. Back on point. I forget where I was even going. But we have choices that we have to make. What choices are we going to make? We're at a crossroads here, people, where we have to decide how it is that we are not only going to live our lives, but practice what it is that we preach. I'm going to be honest with you. Like I said, I was one of those ones that preached one thing and practiced another. People are taking record, though. Your family members are taking record of you. Whenever I left the cable company, it was the hardest decision that I think I've ever had to make. It was a 2-year decision for me to leave that place. You know, if y'all think that just because people stand up here with a microphone, they've gotten it all figured out. No. Well, maybe he has, but I haven't. I couldn't say that. She can. God started dealing with me a couple years ago about leaving. I didn't want to do it. It was a guaranteed paycheck every 2 weeks. Health insurance. I didn't want to leave. Free cable. Good benefit, just so y'all know. I haven't had to pay for cable in 12 years. It is expensive, people! Or 14 years. Yeah, it is. I know, you don't know. It is expensive. Man. I did not want to really leave. I hated the job. I was miserable as all get out. For my birthday, my wife took me and we got couple massages. And we get done and they handed this paper and it says where all your bad areas were, where they noticed a lot of tension to each one of us. And they handed Kayla's paper and they said, you know, come back whenever you want. You know, you really don't have a whole lot of knots and tension in your back and in your feet. And then we did 1 hour massages, and it was wonderful, people. If you want to treat your wife, go get a massage. Go get her a massage. Makes them happy, okay? She handed me my paper, and she goes, I know today we did an hour, but we would like you back in 3 weeks, and we want to do 90 minutes with you. You have knots that go all the way down your back, and they're actually even in your feet. We didn't know you could have knots in your feet. I didn't know you could, I know you could be sore. I didn't know that those sore spots in my feet were actually knots. And I looked at Kayla, I said, they should have given me a massage 2 months ago. They would have found out what a real knot was. But we're at a crossroads. And when God started dealing with me a couple years ago about leaving, the first thing I wanted to do, well, I'm going to line everything up. Right? You're going to make it happen. Me, the one that is lucky if he remembers his name every day, is going to try to line this whole thing up. I was the one that's going to make it happen. You know what? Over 2 years, the only thing I did was get more and more and more and more miserable. Until finally Kayla looked at me back in like October, November last year. And she looked at me and she said, quit now. Okay. And here's the thing. Whenever I finally made the decision to do it, I still don't know what is going to happen. Been gone there for 2 months. I still don't know what's going to happen. But I have been at peace for the first time in a long time about what can happen. I've just made a decision, you know what? I'm not going to try to fix things on my own. I'm not going to try to handle all these different situations on my own. It's going to happen. God's never going to ask you to do something and then turn around and walk away from you. I know it's a hard thing to think about. We're at a crossroads where we're going to have to make a determination of what it is that we want, not only in our Christian walk, in our spiritual walk, but in our earthly walk. This was not an easy process, and I had to quit deceiving myself that I could fix this thing. I could fix it. Greg, that's what we do, right? We fix things. You know, Kayla would tell me something's hurting. Man, something's hurting right here. What's wrong? Because, you know, I'm a doctor. Well, what's wrong? Where's it at? Do you, because you know I could do something about it, right? That's our natural reaction. We want to fix it. What's your greatest enemy here today? What are you deceiving yourself? We got choices that we have to make. What road are we going to walk down? Some churches today have made the decision. We are going to be nothing more than an organization that looks no different from an Elks or from the VFW. We get together every week. We pay our dues with our tithes. We'll sing a song or two. Nothing too harmful. We don't want anybody to be too offended. We say our prayer and we leave. We've come, the church is today now, or as the pastor said at different times, where the guy gets up and he talks about the news. There's no scripture behind it. There's no power behind it. There's no authority behind it. That's one of the things I love about the Good Friday services. Everybody that's there on Good Friday are there because they want to be there. It's not because of out of habit or routine or ritual. You know? How many remember the old Sunday night services? Mm-hmm. Okay. Sunday night service crowds were always smaller, weren't they? There's always more people on Sunday mornings, and then you about have about half on Sunday nights. But Sunday night, we come to party. You know why? Because we wasn't deceiving ourselves and just thinking this was a part of our routine and our rituals. We got rid of all the people that was wanting to be out by a certain time, and we just had chowch. Some Sunday mornings, we call them smos. That's all we have here, smos, because we don't have Sunday nights. So we all are smos. But when we had Sunday morning to Sunday nights, the smos, Sunday morning onlys, you knew who they were because they went like this. Or now, they go like this. And they kind of wave it at the pastor. I'm only saying that because Kayla's not in here. What controls you when something happens to you? What controls you when stress gets too high? How do you react? What do you give into? When someone else upsets you, how do you respond? This is kind of like the hot topic between Kayla and I. I respond one way, she likes to respond another way. I'm not saying either one of them are wrong. But how is it that you respond? Do you want to react in a positive or a negative way? Do you have this need to be right? I do. And I love being right. Oh, I will ride that train. Oh, I mark it down, write it in marker. Oh, Lord. I will send her a remind if I have to. Hey, by the way, 2 weeks ago in this situation, I was right. What control? What do you run to whenever tensions get high? What do you run to? What is it you do? How are you deceiving yourself this morning? What are you looking for? What are you trying to achieve? We have a crossroads as an American church now to make. Who are we going to be? We can be a church that is satisfied with the way things are and deceive ourselves that as long as we stay just like this, we're good. I've always kind of lived by the phrase, if you ain't growing, you're dying. The good news for me is I'm still growing. You know, it's take your shirt off weather, right? I put my shirt back on. I come out of the kitchen, and only thing I had on was a pair of shorts, okay? I just come out of the kitchen, just got out of the shower not too long ago, had a pair of shorts on. Allie comes into the kitchen, she goes, oh, Lord. put a shirt on. I said, if it offends you, turn around and walk away. I don't know. Anthony ain't much better. Little turkey, I'm sitting there in a chair. He's like, Dad. I said, what? He goes, get a brawl. See, y'all think he's quiet. Come over to our house, stay for about 15 minutes. After that, diarrhea of the mouth. He's got a new coach this year, and he's like, man, you got a good kid. He listens so well. He never talks back. He doesn't talk much. I'm like, yeah, come over to the house. You'll see Anthony. You know, I'm going to brag on my wife for a minute. And she, for a long time, she's been telling me she's going to lose weight. I'm going to lose weight. I'm like, whatever, do whatever you want. I don't care. Okay? And her family, they'll tell you all this, there's a long line of heart trouble. Okay? And she had went in the hospital, 4 years ago? Okay? Because her heart. You know, she's 20-some years old. And she's in the hospital for her heart. She's like, you know what? Enough is enough. She's like, I do not. I already know what I should do. I have a decision to make. I can keep on doing the things I've always done and be happy. Or I can change and I can be around for a while. She made a decision. She's lost a ton of weight because of it. We have decisions that we got to make. We can be satisfied with the status quo. There's nothing wrong with this church. From the outside looking in, there's nothing wrong with this church. From the outside looking in, there's nothing really major wrong with me. I don't kill people. I haven't punched anybody in a long time. Amen. Amen. Yeah, we'll just say long. We will go with the definition. I haven't slapped anybody in a little less time, but in a long time. I haven't chewed anybody out in a good while, so I'm learning how to control myself. But if I think that everything's okay just because I've gotten those few things under control, then I'm deceiving myself. And we can think now that the 80, 90 people that we've been having, we're satisfied with that, and we're just going to stay there. If we can just stay right here and like this, we're going to be okay. We're deceiving ourselves. And I'm going to close with this. You know, we're getting ready to start up Heaven Train. We have an opportunity to make a difference in our community. We're getting ready to do this auction that makes a difference in the community. And we can be satisfied with the amount of people that we take care of and the amount of people we help. We can be satisfied with the amount of kids that we have that come on Heaven Train. We can be satisfied with the amount of kids that we've been having coming in on Sunday mornings. We can be satisfied with the amount of teens that we've been having on Sunday nights. We can be satisfied with the amount of people that have been coming on Sunday mornings. We can be satisfied with the amount of money that's been coming in on Sunday mornings. Or we can see what else needs to be cleaned up in our life. We have to constantly challenge ourselves. If you ain't striving for the next step, it's not plateauing, it's dying. And this week, we're about ready to have a meeting on Friday night. I want you guys to seriously be praying this week about this meeting. Because we have choices that we got to make. We can be satisfied and deceive ourselves, or we can figure out another way that we can do more. What do we want to do? We want to be satisfied with where we're at. And those churches that did that 20 years ago, they're now closing their doors because they were satisfied. I was talking to a pastor over in Maslin a while back. And he says, the one thing I'll say about the people I do have still, they're healthy. They've lived a long time. And I started laughing. I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, we had 200 people in the 80s. He says, I have about 15 of them still there. He said, because they've just been slowly dying off. He says, the 15 I still have, they're healthy people. They don't seem like they're going anywhere. But that's a choice that we have to make. We can either grow or we can die. Stand with me if you would. Father, I thank you for your people here this morning. I thank you for your word. Lord, I'm just asking here this morning that you would begin to convict our hearts, Lord, of these things that we have in our life that we know that we need to clean up. Lord, we have a decision that we got to make. What type of church are we going to be? What kind of people are we going to be? Are we going to be one that bends to the world? Are we going to be a church that, or a people that speaks with hate? Or are we going to be a church that's going to speak with love and compassion, with mercy and with grace? How are we going to be? What are we going to do, God? Lord, those things in our hearts, Lord, that we've been holding on to, Father, I'm just asking that you would, as we give them to you, Lord, that you would take them, and we, Lord, we just ask that you would forgive us here this morning, Father, of those things that we've been wanting to hold on to. Lord, we no longer want to deceive ourselves. Lord, the spirit of Leviathan, Father, we curse it right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, and we cast him out of this, out of these four walls. The twisting spirit, Father, the spirit of deception. Lord, we curse it right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, it has no place in this body. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for everything that you're going to do in your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you so much.